Did you know that there are six pillars to building a six-figure or multi-six-figure wedding business without working all the time? And if you're not booking enough of your ideal clients, if you're not making the money you want to make, if you're working crazy hours and heading toward burnout, that means you haven't mastered all six of these pillars. When you master them, you're able to make the money you want, working with the clients you want, working only as much as you want. Want to know how to do that? Yeah, I thought so. And that is why I created a free audio training for you to walk you through the six pillars in detail, the three big mistakes wedding pros make with them. You'll get to take an audit to see exactly what your score is for each pillar, and I'll share how you can improve your score once you know where you stand. You can grab this free private podcast over at evolveyourweddingbusiness.com/6pillars. That's evolveyourweddingbusiness.com/6pillars. Go grab it right now. You'll thank me later and see where you stand and how you can improve your score with these six pillars. This is the Evolve Your Wedding Business podcast, episode number 240, where we are going to dig into building a healthy and wealthy money mindset.
In a world where wedding professionals are struggling to market and grow their businesses, one podcast brings together top experts and actionable strategies to help you build the wedding business of your dreams. This is the Evolve Your Wedding Business podcast. Here is your host, Heidi Thompson.
Hello there, my friend. I am your host, as always, Heidi Thompson, and I'm here to help wedding professionals just like you build six-figure and multi-six-figure businesses without working the insane 60-plus hour weeks that our industry likes to normalize. And a big part of that, of course, is the money component. A big part of any business is the money component. And today I have a really great interview with Erin Bridgman all about this. We talk about, you know, the mindset, because a lot of times we get just caught up in our heads when it comes to money. It becomes this really emotional topic. It becomes really challenging for a lot of us. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about actually managing money. We're going to talk about the business impact on personal finance and vice versa. And when Erin told me she wanted to talk about this, I was really excited, because a lot of times we'll talk about things like, you know, money mindset and, you know, managing money better in your business. But your business is one part of your whole, you know, financial world, and your personal finances need to be taken care of as well. And I've done some previous episodes about personal finances. I'll be sure to link to those in the show notes. Those will be over at evolveyourweddingbusiness.com/240. Along with the links to everything we talk about in this interview, including Erin's checklist, which you're definitely going to want to grab. So be sure to head over to the show notes. Like I said, evolveyourweddingbusiness.com/240. And let's dive in headfirst to this interview with Erin. Today, I'm joined by Erin Bridgman, who I am very excited to have because she is an expert on all things money management, money mindset, making sure that your business finances set you up for your personal finances, which we don't talk about too often. We look at them as totally separate things. So I'm really excited to have Erin here, and we're going to talk all things money today.
Heck yes. Thanks, Heidi, for having me.
So Erin, tell me a bit about the work that you do. I know, you know, we know this term money mindset, but what does that actually look like in practice?
Yeah. So I come from a background of, I'm sure a lot of your audience will resonate. I grew my entrepreneurship foundation being in the wedding industry as a photographer and scaled that business to six figures and became grandparents in the industry and retired and moved into the education space. And as I began really 5-6 years ago doing more of education for creative entrepreneurs, saw this consistent pattern around women and how the challenge they have, like brilliant, amazing business women who are doing incredible work and doing and quite successful, having challenges around the way that they think about money, around their belief of their own worthiness around money. And then, you know, really how they're managing the money. And so I loved in the work that I do now with entrepreneurs is really helping them to grow both sides of both their money mindset and their money management, which as you do both, it kind of impacts each other to help them reach their wealth goals, because I believe wealthy women will change the world.
I love that so much. And I've definitely seen that pattern myself. I don't know what it is. I mean, everyone has money stuff, but I feel like there's something more going on with women specifically. And I guess
absolutely.
In the grand scheme of things, like us even earning money is like a relatively new thing.
Yes. I mean, when I say that women are joining my sphere, my programs, or even my, you know, free stuff, like I'm so grateful because we are leading a movement. And I think as entrepreneurs, we get to have like the front row to that movement. If you look at history and you just see how recent some of the changes have been made for women when it comes to money, which money, let's be real, is power. Money is what runs the world. And we look at how we've been disadvantaged for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. If you look in the history of just, you know, women in America in the past 100 years, and it was just changed in the past 100 years that a woman could open a bank account without a man. In the past 100 years, it was changed that a woman could open her own credit card without a man. You know, there were just laws being put into place to push for equal pay. In 2021, women made 82 cents to the dollar of a man. And so not only are we up against our own personal journeys with money and our own sort of social network, but we are pushing against, you know, societal frameworks and history and making big change. And I think this time in this place, as female entrepreneurs, we have such a huge moment to shift things. And so I'm very passionate about that. And I totally agree with you that when it comes to women and money, we got some stuff to work through.
Absolutely. And of course we do. Like, I mean, like you were saying, I was born in the mid 80s. My mom was born at a time where she wasn't allowed to have her own bank account or credit card without her dad setting it up for her.
Right. I mean, it's crazy, but my parents taught me budgeting, and people, like, their jaws drop open when I tell them this, but, you know, and it's not my parent. I don't want to fault them for this, right? It's just kind of like our own fringes of what still exists in society. But I had all these breakdowns. I'm talking, I'm a kid. I'm like 11, you know, and one of the categories I saved for was 5% to a dowry. What the heck?
Oh my God. That's insane that that's a line item. Oh my God.
Right. So, I mean, that's like even in my lifetime, right? Yeah. That's shifting.
It's really crazy when you think about it that way. And it's like, mm-hmm. Yes, it's come a long way, but yes, it also has a long way to go. And I think, you know, the particularly cool thing about women in business is we are in control of so many more things than we would be in control in, say, you know, a typical corporate job.
Absolutely. I say that we're like the unicorns, and we're the ones who have said, you know, we're ballsy enough and confident enough to go you know, despite all the imposter syndrome, and I know you had a guest on your podcast talking about that, and, you know, despite all the stuff that we're up against, like, we're like the unicorns that are saying, we have something, we have a product or a service we believe in enough, we have enough confidence in, that we're willing to take it to the marketplace and have an exchange of money for something that we create or we do. And I mean, that right there puts us in a whole different category of women who can really lead this change in positioning women with money.
Which is so exciting. It is a really, really exciting position to be in. And I'm curious, what kinds of mindset things come up for your clients when they are deciding that they want to get, you know, really serious about, yes, I want to build this kind of wealth. You know, this is what I want to do. These are my goals. I'm trying to achieve them, but I keep running into things.
Yeah. So here, let's dive on like two common ones. We'll just talk about, like, obviously there's a lot more, but like overarching too. Let's talk about the first one is, I hear this, and I think this is definitely conditional, like based on society, women have been conditioned this way. But I hear this a lot of times, this label, this excuse, this thinking that I'm just not a numbers person. I don't understand math, spreadsheets. I just can't make sense of it. And you know, that's just not my role, or I'm just not going to do that. And the thing is if you're a business owner, you don't have that choice. You shouldn't have that choice. When you move into a position where you are not just like a hobbyist or having fun, but you want to create a profitable company, you can't just throw your hands up and say, I'm delegating this, or I don't have to know the numbers. And so I always say, nobody is born knowing math. Nobody's born knowing numbers. This is a skill that we can attain. And so just really breathing empowerment into women, if they've labeled themselves that way, if they've been like, math was just my worst, I just can't, you know, it's like, hey, no, this is something that is really important, because it's a power source for you to be able to make correct decisions and scale the right thing and create correct pricing and all of the things. And so let's just begin to change our thinking and our language to say that we're in the process of learning how to manage the numbers, or how to be familiar with the numbers, fall in love with the numbers, all of that kind of thing. So that's a huge one that I hear a lot. And then I think, you know, as I do the work with women and we get into, and this is why I love it. Like, yeah, I love the practicality and the huge things that happen for women. And I got to retire my husband because of doing this work, or I'm getting to buy my dream house. I mean, I have so many cool stories of how, like, money is, it's not just piles of green cash. It's like connected to real goals and real life. But I love the work because money is the root of so much. And so as we unpack our money stories, our money blocks, our limiting beliefs, it really brings up so much around, I think, a worthiness conversation. Mm-hmm. And that can surface in lots of different ways, but women recognizing, oh, like my mom, like I can see why, like one gal in the intensive a few cohorts ago was talking about how she really wanted, like, I always talk about like that, like how do we, like, you do our money, use our money, execute it based on our values. And one thing she wanted was to like invest in a Peloton, and she had reasons for it. And she's seeing so much resistance around this, even though she knew she could afford it. And so she was digging deeper into that. And we do your money mindset journey in the program and so much stuff there. And she's like, I realized that my mom modeled that she put everyone else first, that, you know, she didn't spend money on herself. She didn't spend time on herself. And I was reliving that same story of like, oh, I'm not worthy of that. And like modeling that for my daughters. And oh my gosh, I don't want to do that. And it surfaces all different ways when we go to raise pricing and, oh my gosh, am I worthy of charging this, or all different things. And so I love when we can really dive into those deep issues of worthiness and figure out where the lies are and how to untwist them and how to start to shift our thinking and the way we show up in the world. Because the more women can believe their worthiness, the more the more beautiful, powerful change and impact will happen in the world.
This is why I have a big problem with the phrase, charge what you're worth.
I heard you talking about that on a podcast and I was like, that is so good that you call that out, because I'm sure I've said that. I know I've said that. And you're right. Well, what does that even mean?
Like, your worth as a human being is not the amount of money like your unique right. market will pay for a certain product or service. Those are two exactly. completely different things.
Absolutely, Heidi. Yes.
What sort of resistance do you see around women who are using the I'm not a numbers person excuse? What are they tending to like trying to get away from?
Yeah. So there's a couple of reasons why I think people say that. So, you know, sometimes I think it's like we're afraid of what we're going to see. So we would rather just kind of like not look. It's like, and I'm like, okay, this is like having, I don't know, like I have a little girl who's two and I have one on the way. And I'm like, it's like, I'm scared of opening the diaper or of like, I'm just going to put it over and then it's just going to get worse. It's not like avoiding it makes anything any better. Mm-hmm. So I think some people are scared to see like, oh my gosh, am I profitable? Or, oh my, I know like my bank account's always down to like, I make all this money, but for some reason every month, my bank account is still only like $1,000. What the heck or whatever. And so it's sort of like this, I'm just going to close my eyes. It's worked so far. I'm just going to hope it keeps working. And I'm afraid to actually look at it. Cause then what will I have to do and what changes will I have to make? And will I be able to make changes and will I know what to do? So I think there's that avoidance there that happens. I think sometimes it's, we truly don't know what to look at. We're not sure what to plug in where, not sure what to look at. We don't have maybe the systems or the tools or the training. And so instead of seeking that out, we just like hope it'll work out. And especially, you know, a lot of the women I work with are creatives. So we have that natural bent towards maybe more that part of our brain and thinking that is more creative than maybe the linear black and white math data spreadsheet side of things. And so I think that we can, oh, well, I'm just going to like label myself that I can't, you know, do that. And that's not my thing. And I'm not going to figure it out. I think some women, we have an unhealthy relationship with money and with numbers in general, whether it's the number on the scale or the number of followers, like we define our worth. And so like there's maybe a deeper challenge in looking at the numbers. I mean, I think, you know, we touched on like how society has conditioned us. So, you know, if you look at like how the media speaks to women and how it's about money and numbers and things, it's about don't spend, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's not about financial education, different than how we speak to men. And so, you know, there's like lots of different reasons, I think, and maybe a melding of many that has us resistant to diving into the numbers. And so I'm on a mission to say, like, I'm going to convert you. I have a money matrix system that I've developed. And I'm like, I'm going to convince you that spreadsheets are sexy. And that numbers are sexy because they just show you so much and they don't lie.
Yeah. I mean, it's in black and white. It's right there. And I think that's sometimes part of the scary part too, is facing, you know, what's actually happening.
Right. Absolutely.
But the thing I love about when we come into, okay, I'm just going to look at it. I'm just going to decide to deal with it. All of a sudden, it really puts you in the driver's seat. It allows you to be like, okay, this is all fucked up, but I'm going to fix it. And I'm going to go find out how, or these are the steps I'm going to take. And then you can actually do something about it, which is powerful to realize.
Yes, exactly. And something I do with people is they learn their sacred money archetype. So there's eight different archetypes, and we just did this in the intensive yesterday. And you know, based on your archetype too, is helps you understand your behavior and your thinking around money and your gifts and your challenges. And there are several women who were connectors, which connectors, they would rather delegate their finances out. They would rather like trust somebody else to just take care of it. They have this belief that it will all work out. And so we were talking about, and I said, so why did you join this? Like, why did you invest your time and money into this 8-week intensive? And they're like, the very reason we just said, they want to be in the driver's seat. Their vision for their life and the goals that they want to achieve have become painful enough and strong enough that they're willing to walk through the resistance to become put in the driver's seat of their money and their wealth.
Are there like common breaking points you see for people where they're like, okay, enough of this shit. I have to learn how to deal with this.
I mean, I think that's such a great question. I think, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, I'm working with women who, these aren't like new business owners. So I think if that's helpful, like, to know generally, you track people who've been in business for years. And this is sort of like the skeleton in their closet. Like they don't want, they're like, yeah, I don't pay myself a consistent salary. I don't know how much it costs me to live every month. Like I don't have financial goals. And so I think that like there comes a point in business when you're like, at this sort of burnout point, you're like, okay, like I have the success. I have the status. I'm a six-figure entrepreneur. I'm blah, 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 blah. You know, but like the personal impact of the money isn't cutting it for me anymore. So I think that is a huge thing. And I think it's too, when the personal stuff comes in focus. Like I just can't stand to, you know, continue to live under this debt. You know, I'm working really great in my business. It's successful. I'm charging it, but like I have this personal stuff going on and I can't keep being the successful entrepreneur that has these stressors around my desires with my personal money. And whether that is, I mean, I think like a lot of people, it is debt pay down, or it is like a lack of savings, or it's understanding like, hey, I've been at this, you know, 5-10 years, I'm in charge of my own retirement. Like I don't have that as an entrepreneur. I need to get it together, you know? And so I feel like a lot of times it's like people making that connection of like money is a power source that they want to tap into out of either like, oh my gosh, I can't keep going, or I have big vision and I want to like press into that. When that comes into focus, I think that's when people are like, okay, I'm just gonna figure this out. I have to figure it out.
You brought up a really good point, and I'm glad you talk about, you know, not just the business finance, but also the personal finance, because we can, you know, try to silo it as much as we want. And like, you know, for legal reasons, you definitely want to do that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they impact each other. So I'm curious what kind of issues you're seeing, and you kind of touched on it a little bit of like the business impacting personal finance or personal finance impacting the business. And what do you do from there?
Yeah. So what I love to do, and this is what gets me so hyped, you know, is a lot of times when we have these conversations or in the business or the education space online, you know, it is focused on a lot, like, just the business side of things, since we're educating on business. But my whole philosophy and thing is the whole point of the business is to financially is to impact your own personal life. And yeah, it's about a lot more than that. And I teach on an entrepreneur sweet spot where money is just a portion. And we look at all the different other important things about what you're putting out into the world. But, you know, who cares if your business, I see all these stuff. Oh, I help people get to six figures. I'm telling you, I have that. I get it. I do help people scale their business and their pricing and sales and all that stuff. And I've used that language, but who cares if you're barely making it, if you're still working paycheck to paycheck, basically, you're not getting ahead, you know? when you really could, because the power of the entrepreneur is that we have the ability to go make more money. And so when we look at like this personal side, like the start of what we do is, okay, let's get knowledge on how much it costs you to live your current lifestyle. Let's just get a baseline. And there's a stat like 65% of Americans don't know how much it costs for them to live. And so most of the people coming to me don't have a budget. And I like to say these things like successful people aren't paying themselves salaries, all this, just to like, so that there's like an openness about this and like, let's do something, let's change it. So listeners or people aren't like feeling deep shame, but they're like, okay, all right. And almost empowerment, like, okay, I'm not alone and I can do something about it, you know? So we start with really creating a baseline of understanding, like, what does it cost you to live? And I say, and wealthy woman, like, strategize and plan. So it's not just your zero down monthly budget, but it's your short-term spending, like annual spending. So we create a budget for things that you might not spend every month, but you spend in a year span and need your salary to compensate for. So whether that's different types of insurance or your pet care or travel, gifts, all that kind of stuff, we strategize. And I have two different ways that we look at that: annual and then based on actual time that you need the money. And so then we figure out, okay, we can see how much it costs you or how much you need to live. And we figure out, I take the approach of budgeting, which some it's like so annoying and boring budgeting. Oh my gosh, ew. But I'm like, actually, like, what, it's just not, my perspective on it is not like a Dave Ramsey perspective of, okay, now we got to cut and scrimp and save. And, you know, of course that, like, it's like you have options. So budgeting is for knowledge for us as entrepreneurs. And we have to see, are you zeroed out? Are you negative? Are you positive? And you can do, you can cut or you can increase what you make. That's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. Like, if this is the lifestyle you want to live, let's figure out how your business gets you there and keeps you there and doesn't, you know, negative, you're not negative. And so it's just knowledge for us to then, and we want to create access. That's what it's all like. That's what wealthy women do. And so we figure out, how do we strategize your business to become profitable enough based on the whole money matrix side of your business, where you pay yourself a salary, it's consistent, you're raising it, you're giving yourself bonuses, and then you have this excess of money that you're strategizing beyond your short-term savings and your annual budget that goes towards your long-term financial goals. And I talk about what those should be. And we strategize dollar for dollar where that excess money is going based on your goals financially. And we plan for it every month where you're putting that money. So, and this is like, okay, I'm talking about all these management numbers, blah, 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 blah. This means like things like this. What happens is people have these goals. I want to retire my husband. And it can feel like this super high, lofty, arbitrary goal. Like, oh my gosh, I hope in 5 years. I'm like, well, let's see what it would really take to retire your husband. That's the cool thing about this whole thing. And numbers and money is like, this is how much you need. This is how much your business has to pay you. And so I remember a client coming, that was one of her goals. And we retired her husband within like a year of work together, when she thought it was this goal years and years and years down the road. Or a woman in the intensive a couple rounds ago was like really frustrated. You know, the real estate market is insane, and just like looking for a year. And she's like, because we did this work and I understood my finances and everything, we figured out we could afford to not just like go buy a house, but to build our dream house in the same neighborhood we're in. And just like, I have been writing down this future manifestation of my office and this natural light and these French doors. And Erin, I'm getting to literally build that in this home. And so there's so many beautiful stories of how, you know, these goals and these dreams are money related many times, and you can actually plan and get to them. And so that's the beauty, I think, of having our businesses and having an understanding and being the CEO, CEO of both our business and our life, because we can really make significant change.
I'm really glad you pointed out that you have people that think it's so far out. I've noticed that this is just like a thing. Anytime we think, okay, I want to do this, that's probably going to take this length of time. I feel like we're almost always wrong.
Playing it too safe.
Exactly. Or like not even looking at the numbers, being like realizing like, oh, okay, I could do this if I changed this about my pricing, or I took on one additional client, or I, you know, whatever it looks like for you. But I find it's often so much more attainable. I've noticed this even in myself, like when you actually work out the numbers, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, okay, so, and now I'm working more with people who are already full-time. I mean, there's some people who take the leap and they're wanting to go full-time with their business, but it's typically more of a person who's been in a while. But I remember when I used to work with those, and I'm like, well, you could already go full-time right now. Like, you were hoping to do that in a year or two and look at the numbers, and why don't you quit tomorrow? What's the problem? You know, and that's a lot. It's like fear, and they want massive cushion that's unnecessary. And, you know, it's scary to take leaps with money. And, you know, it's always raising necessity and knowing the risk and having the information, because it doesn't stop once, you know, like once, okay, now I'm going to go full time my business. Now I'm going to raise my prices. Now I'm going to bring on a team member. All right, now I'm going to, you know, when we bought our first real estate investment property in 2014, I'm going to take this $18,000 and I'm not going to roll around in it in my bank account. I'm going to put it into an asset, into a home. I'd rather like just feel all the money. And, you know, it's a continual process of building that musculature, both in our headspace and with our management, so that we can continue to scale to whatever is alignment for us, you know?
I find that very reassuring, because I think we have this assumption that you're just supposed to be able to do this. You're just supposed to be able to, you know how to do all these things and be able to plan for all these things. And these are, planning for the future is like the hardest thing for a human being to do. Like, it's not how our brains naturally function. And once you realize that literally everybody else is having the same hesitations around raising price or the same fears around spending a certain amount of money, it is so just refreshing. It's like, okay, we're all in this. We all yes. have these same fears, because it can feel like everybody has it together but me.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I love to like expose, is like my own story. Like, okay, yeah, I might be this money coach and I might have this multi-million dollar real estate business, but let me tell you how it started. And let me tell you the painful thing that, you know, and that I still freak out, you know, and don't put me on this pedestal, because I don't want to be there. I want to just, you know, open up the conversation. And I mean, I've worked with women who are multimillionaires. There's still challenges around this. Maybe it's a little bit different. And then my hope is like, you know, yeah, we have to keep breaking through these barriers and reaching, but we bounce back faster. We have tools to access the knowledge quicker. And so we're able to be more agile and more powerful when it comes to our relationship with money.
I love that. I know you want to talk like some tactical stuff about things people can do like right now when it comes to managing their money, whether that be on the business side, the personal side, both. So
yeah,
take it, dig it.
Okay. Well, I talked a little bit about some of the stuff I do, but I'd love to like, you know, a couple really tactical, practical things. I love to be, you know, people to get value and just walk away feeling empowered, is make sure, you know, if you don't have separate accounts, you need to have separate accounts for sure. Number one. And if you have multiple LLCs, you need to keep those separate, have separate P&L sheets for them, separate cards for them, operate them with a separate business accounts and all of that. If you're not already, you need to be saving for tax payments monthly. And so in the money matrix on the CFO side of things in the business, we project your monthly tax payment, and we do that based on a certain percentage, and we assume growth. We look at like your actual numbers, and then I have we run projections. And so make sure that you have a separate bank account set aside for tax payments, and don't like eliminate the tax payment money from your cash on your bank account. It's already money spent. Everyone has to pay taxes. Plan for it. We had an unexpected, like almost $20,000 tax bill, you know, at the beginning of entrepreneurship, because, hey, we're killing it. Amazing. We raised our prices, making more money. And then we're planning for the same tax payment we did the year before. That doesn't work. With scaled business comes a higher tax bill, baby. So plan for it, save for that. On the personal side of things, I think it's really important. Search, get, I know that there's, everyone doesn't love the app. Someday I'm going to come up with a better app, hopefully for, tracking, but like download Mint, like track your money for a month, see where it's going, see how much you really spend. This will give you an idea of, a baseline of what does it cost for me to live? And then get in touch with your goals, get in touch with your financial goals. And when I say that, I mean, when I ask people, they want to be debt free, for example, let's say this is a thing. Oh my God. And they'll be like, I won't ever be. I mean, it's going to be 10 years before student loans are gone or whatever. I'm like, well, first of all, no. And then I'm like, how much do you have in student debt? Oh, I think like 20,000. No, I want to know exact, like figure out the exact number. Okay. It's $23,478. And like get really tapped into like giving clarity around those goals. Or like, I want to buy my first home. Great. Look at the marketplace around you. What type of home can you afford? Are you looking for? What would a down payment be for that? Okay. What do you need to save? Break down these goals, like figure out the high number. And just get more in touch with it. Cause like I said, I think earlier, like I always say, piles of green cash are not very motivating. But when you put that towards something that's of deep value to you and you can put an exact dollar sign to it, I guarantee you're gonna show up differently. And then one other thing that I love, and I am working on developing an app for this, is to do an abundance manifestation challenge. Set a certain amount of time where you're going to manifest a certain amount of money into your world above and beyond what you currently know is coming into your business or your life, and start tracking every day. You can literally just do this in notes in your phone. Every time money comes into your world. Oh, my friend just bought me a coffee. Thank you. $6. You know, I just got a tip from a client. Okay. Putting that down. Wow, this parking meter was prepaid $3.50. And why do we do this kind of stuff? Is because naturally our brain is wired to keep us safe. Our brain is wired to, like, we see the fear. We live in fear many times, in scarcity, where we often are programmed to see the unexpected bill. My gosh, this cost me more, all that. And kind of feel like money is a depleting resource that is fading around me. And so doing an exercise like a manifestation challenge where you're really tapped into the money all around you will help you see it more. What we focus on builds. And so I love, we do that in the intensive. We set an 8-week goal and we do an individual and group kind of exercise around that. And that's something that your listeners could start to do right now. So there's some practical tips for management and for mindset when it comes to money.
I love when you do figure out that number of, you know, what you need to save for a goal. And then my favorite thing is like automating it. So like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. That means I need to move $200 from my personal account to my savings account every week. All right, cool. Set it up. And I literally never think about it. And then all of a sudden I have this money for the goal that I set aside. Yes. Because of this like minuscule work that I've put into breaking it down. Like, okay, yeah, maybe I don't have $20,000 right now, but
you know, setting aside small amounts regularly makes a huge, huge difference.
Yes. And that automation piece is huge because fear will creep in, right? Human error will creep in. And so that's one of the things for sure with like salary, we put it on an auto payment, you know, boom, this is your salary. You're not going to like, oh, maybe this month I'm not going to pay it. No, it's not an auto pay. So I love that you mentioned that.
Because it gets like weird things happen when you put yourself in a situation where it's like, okay, I'm going to log into my bank account and now I'm going to make this transfer. Ooh, but if I transfer that much, that means
that we overthink it.
Yeah, this number is a number I don't like for some arbitrary reason. And you know what? I'm going to leave 500 more in the business account just to like make me feel a little bit better. And then it just turns into like this weird arbitrary guessing game that just leads you to screwing yourself over.
Right. Right. And there is like goodness in like, I love for people to have the habit of checking their bank accounts and like getting connected to that and having knowledge. But then there is that part where we need to automate to eliminate that choice. We've already made the choice in an abundant space. Let's not leave ourselves to shifting into fear and making like poor decisions.
Treating a tax account the way you mentioned has worked wonders for me in that way, because it's not do I want to set this aside? Is this gets set aside, the end. No thinking about it, no second guessing it. And then, you know, there have been several times where I pay everything and I'm like, oh, cool. I actually have a little bit left over and now I don't have to freak out about my taxes.
Yeah, I just think, you know what? And people complain about paying taxes, you know, a lot. Like that's like a common, oh my gosh, taxes. And I get it. Like as business owners, we pay higher tax bracket because of blah, 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 blah. But hey, it's a part of the privilege of living in America and having our own business. And we just like, thank you that I get to make this payment because it means my business is profitable. It means I'm in a space in a country where I get to operate a business. And it's just an expense line for my company, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think just like treating it like that and not giving it a ton of space and power to like derail us is important.
Yeah. And that's something like before I started doing that, it was definitely something that took up a lot more space in my brain early on of like, I don't know how much I'm supposed to be setting aside. I guess I'll just pick this random number. Did I do enough? Did I do too much? Like just knowing and then setting it up is so simple, but it's hilarious the ways that we will avoid it.
Yeah. I'm actually working on a really low paid tool to help people strategize and save for their tax payments every month so that they are ready for those quarterly or annual payments. So I know this is a need. I've heard it a lot. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to make this super easy.
Actually, I got a letter from the IRS. I don't remember when it was, but they sent me a letter and they were like, you owe us $10,000. And because I'm on top of my finances, I was like, oh no, I do not. And I could send them the proof. And then like, you know, 5 months later when they got around to responding, they were like, yeah, that was our bad. Like, what? And I would have, I would have freaked out. I would have, you know, but I was like, no. I know this isn't even a possibility because
was it like really the government or is this just
no, it was the IRS. They were like, oh, this 1099 thing wasn't listed. This wasn't listed. And it was like, yeah, but if you add all those numbers up, they add up to the income reported. So what? It was just, they didn't bother to do that. And if I was in a position where I didn't have a CPA I trusted that prepped my taxes, if I wasn't on top of my finances, if I didn't have money set aside to where if it turned out I did owe $10,000, it would have sucked, but it wouldn't have been the end of the world. You know, I could have managed. I would have been pissed, but, you know, but I just knew instantly. And that instinctive, like,
no, I'm on top of this. I know this isn't correct. I'm going to go verify it's not correct. Nope. CPA, can you draft me a letter? Here we go. Done.
Right. So this is you again talking about being in the driver's seat. When something like that happens, you know that that's right. And you have the power to say, okay, I'm not paying this. I'm on top of my stuff. I know that I don't owe this.
And it was definitely one of those things that I'm glad I didn't avoid, because when I did try to get information from them, of course, like every time I called, I would sit on hold for 2 hours and then they would just disconnect the call. It was like, I'm really glad I didn't leave this until a week before the deadline to give them this information, which a former me probably would have done, you know, bury your head. I won't deal with it until the deadline. Just stepping up to it and being like, no, I'm going to sort this out, made it so that it wasn't, you know, the nightmare situation that it definitely could have been.
And I think, you know, I'm finding like this tax situation is a challenge. Like we ran the launch this year and I'm like, oh my gosh, I never can do that again, because my people who need money help, who are successful, didn't plan for their taxes and are like, oh my God, I have no money. I can't pay for this. I'm like, we have to bounce back, you know? And so I'm like, well, that is the problem of my person I serve. So I'm not going to launch again right after tax season. And also I'm just so committed to everyone that I work with is going to never have that problem again in the future.
And that's, I think, the really healthy way to face it is like, this sucks, but this is going to be the last time it happens.
Yes, absolutely.
Like never again am I doing this.
And that's what I hope that is exactly how, okay, like I'm going to learn from this lesson and I'm going to do it different.
Because I think we ultimately have a lot more control than we realize.
Yes, you do.
Erin, this has been so much fun. I love talking finance and money stuff. I'm a nerd for it too. But where can people go if they want to learn more about you and your coaching?
Yeah. Well, I'm most active on Instagram. I'm super relational. So I love to get in the DMs with people. I love to hear like, you heard me on the show and like this really stood out or anything. So follow me on Instagram. It's my name at Erin_Bridgman. We'll put it in the show notes because it's spelled really weird. Erin with two N's, Bridgman, no E-M, Bridge. And I'm working on some small resources that people can grab from the store. But right now I have a Wealthy Woman checklist that helps you really organize what are the things in my business that I need to have sorted out, what are the things in my personal life, and what are the things in my mindset. And really helps you dial up to be the wealthy woman that you know you can be.
I love that. I will be sure to link to that in the show notes. And thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. This conversation was amazing. And I hope it just serves your people so well.
I really hope you enjoyed that and that it has given you some practical ideas of things that you can do right away to start managing your money better, to start shifting those money mindset hangups that many of us face. Believe me, if you are facing those, you are far from alone. And I have all the links to everything we talked about, including Erin's checklist, over at evolveyourweddingbusiness.com/240. So be sure to head over there and grab that. And I would love to hear from you. I always love hearing from listeners about, you know, what is it that you learned? What are you going to take action on? What are you going to put into place from this episode? So I would love for you to shoot me a DM. I am Evolve Your Wedding Business on Instagram. DM me. Let me know what you learned. Let me know what you are going to take action on. I would love to hear that because I'm nosy, but also because I would love to cheer you on. And it's really helpful to hear what you get out of these episodes. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in today, and I will speak to you again very soon.